So have you ever heard this phrase? He's a chip off the old block. You ever heard that? I've heard that different times when people talk about me and my dad, mostly because we look so much alike, except that he... Now, if you look at facial features, some of you are already going, wait, what? Facial features, if you look at us like from similar ages, we look a lot alike. And my brother, if you've met my brother, he looks more like my mom and my mom's side of the family. And she's bald and has lots of tattoos. Yeah. Some of you guys that listen to a lot of podcasts, I can tell who you listen to because of the things you say. Like, yeah, you're a John Piper fan. Oh, yeah, I can tell. I know where that came from. I read that same book. You know. What if I told you that God is actually inviting us to imitate him? He's inviting us to do that. Now, they're figuring out our PowerPoint here. Yes. We had it all working when we... He's inviting us to imitate him. To imitate him. You're missing out on some of the funny stuff right now. Some of the imitation that's going on in the PowerPoint slides that are not there are kind of funny. So, well, yeah, just trust me. Trust me. They'll show up in a little bit. So we should laugh. Yeah, just laugh like it's funny. Just imitate me. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, let's read this. This is Ephesians 5. We're going to read 1 through 14. There's some kind of bold statements in here. But you'll see where we're going based on the very first verse. Therefore, based on what we read last week, all these things, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. All those things we talked about last week. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." We're gonna stop right there. Now that we've got this working, we need to back this up because you need to see. I hunted this down, and I'm not gonna just move on past this. There you go. Look at those little shave lines in that guy's head. And the mullet. Yeah, I imitated the mullet. I was a big 80s music fan, and I did that for a while. I never did the shaved lines in the head, though. That's just really awkward right there. Okay, fast forward. Go on back through the... This guy was imitating somebody. He thought they were cool, and he went right along with it. But guys, we are called to imitate our Father. We're called to imitate God. And we're called to do this as beloved children. Now there's two big phrases or two big ideas in this one phrase. Imitate God as beloved children. So for Christians, every Christian, this is every person who has said, Lord, I submit my life to you. You're the Lord of my life. I'm yours. If that's you, God is your Father. He's not just your Lord, Master, Boss. He's your Father. And we're called to imitate our Father. We're called to learn and even to copy what He does even before we understand why we're doing it all. Children may not understand everything. Any of you who are parents, you know your children don't understand everything when you say, this is what I need you to do. Why? Right? Or, I don't want to do that. Or all kinds of responses. Children may not understand everything. In fact, they will not understand everything. But they can imitate what their parents do. And you see these two little guys, little guy and a little gal up here. I have a picture of myself doing this, wearing my dad's cowboy boots and cowboy hat. And it's just like that. They come all the way up to your waist, you know, and it's like giant cowboy boots. I had no idea when I was a little kid the purpose of a cowboy boot. No concept. In fact, most of the men in the Kansas City area where I grew up, they had no concept either, but they all wore them. Like, what do you? How many guys are really riding horses around in that little spot for the stirrup? And you don't really need that when you go to the mall. But it's cool, and everybody did it, so everybody wore them. As kids, we're like that. Dad does it. Mom does it. And I do it because Dad does it. I do that because Mom does it. I do that. Whoever that father figure or mother figure in your life is, people that you respect, like we said, some of you like John Piper, you like Tim Keller, you like whoever it is, and you end up doing things and saying things because you respect them. And he starts in verse 2, he says, after he said, be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We're called to imitate him. Now, we may not fully understand everything that he's done. You might think, gosh, I feel like a theological baby. I feel I'm learning, I'm figuring things out. There's so much I don't know. Just look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. It says, walk in love as Christ loved us. How did he love us? He gave himself up for us. He says, now, walk in love your life. Live your life in love like he did. It's actually very, very simple. How has he loved us? He gave himself up for us. Now walk like that. Love one another. And what we're doing is we're watching Jesus. We're learning what Jesus does. And we begin to imitate him. Before we understand everything, right? So we're called to imitate our Father. Now, Paul goes after some stuff here. Ephesians chapter 5. When you start in verse 3, we get this list of these things that are not like our Father. So it doesn't matter what Christian you see doing these things, don't imitate them, because these things are not like your Father. They're not like God. They are not like Christ. Now, if you go to the Easterbrooks household, you're going to discover something about Donald Easterbrooks. The guy is an Ohio State fan. Has anyone figured this out? If you know Donald, the guy likes Ohio State. I cannot imagine going to the Easterbrooks home and seeing any of the offspring wearing Michigan anything. Am I right, guys? Am I right? What was that? He would disown you. Oh, ooh, ooh. Thought we had a household of grace, except for when it comes to Ohio State and Michigan. Okay. So Hannah says she would be disowned if she wore anything from Michigan. Let that go on the record. We can have a lot of fun and get a lot of mileage with that. Now, I bet none of you can tell me anything about the actual academic achievements of Michigan. Like, what their research labs look like, do you know anything about it? No, and you probably wouldn't. You're like, I wouldn't even think about it. That's like in our house at Montana State University. I know it's an excellent engineering school, but none of our children are ever going to go there because we went to the rival school. It doesn't matter how good they are academically. We just know we can't go there. The Easterbrooks generation, the generation coming up in the Easterbrooks household, has learned to imitate their father in the love for Ohio State and the loathing, apparently, of Michigan. Now, there's a few things here that Paul starts to go into that are not like the father. These are like, I'm sorry if you're a Michigan fan, I'm using the Ohio State example, but these things are like, you know, Michigan. So the first three hits: sexual immorality, all impurity, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says these things must not even be named among us. That's how unlike God these things are. Now, I have to tell you, I couldn't stand here and say I've been 100% sexually moral through my life, or I've never been impure. I've never coveted things and began to just, my heart goes after things and I cannot be happy until I have them. I can't stand here and say, gosh, you should, you know, be more like me. I've never struggled in any of these things. You can't. None of us can. I'm guessing none of us could say that. What Paul is getting at here is, guys, we don't continue in these practices. We don't continue in these things. These are unlike our Father. And as we're learning to imitate Him, imitate Christ, there's things that we put off and we recognize these are not like God. And strong statements. Everyone who's participating in these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So why would we continue? And he wants to get really clear. Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Don't let anyone deceive you. Doesn't matter what pastor it is. Doesn't matter what Christian leader it is, what good friend it is. Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words and say, oh, this is no big deal. No big deal. No, it kind of is a big deal. It says, don't even let these things be named among you. And that word there for deceive means to cheat, to beguile. Like, it's totally robbing you, confusing you. It's like bait and switch. You're looking over here, and really what they're doing is robbing from you while they've got you looking over here. Don't let anyone do that to you. Don't let anyone rob you of what God actually has intended for you. He says, because of these things. Okay, so he's talking about these three things: sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. These are strong words, aren't they? It's like the wrath of God. Gosh, the name of our church is Grace Church. Grace Church. Come on. Grace of God. Let's talk about the grace of God. All right. Okay, the grace of God. The whole point of the grace of God is it's His unmerited favor, undeserved favor poured out on people who actually deserve His wrath. His wrath is a real thing. And don't think of it as, wow, God just hates you. He hates people. He hates you. He hates sin. Because these things are so unlike him. He wouldn't be a good God if he actually didn't oppose things that were contrary to his nature. He says the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience because of these things. And if you're questioning it, you're working through that, the wrath of God here means, that word wrath means the abhorrence of evil. Right? If God is going to be good in any way, he should abhor evil. You can't be good and not abhor evil. And it says he comes on the sons of disobedience. And I want you to understand that word for disobedience there means obstinate, like really belligerent, like kind of in your face, obstinate disbelief. And because of that, disobedience. Because of that, you are in opposition to the will of God. But that the wrath of God is being poured out on people who flat out are opposed to the gospel. God, that's enough of a mouthful. Like just kind of a couple of body blows right there. Smack you upside the head. And then he keeps going. Three more things he says. Filthiness. I don't think that means make sure you take your shower every day. Make sure you get the deodorant on. It's not what we're talking about here. Filthiness. It's like filthy living. Foolish talk. That doesn't mean we can't joke around. We can't be silly with each other. If you hang around me very long, you know I'm a sarcastic, dry humor kind of guy. We can be fun together. Yeah, Randy and I were talking about it earlier today. Jesus was known as this guy. He's anointed with the oil of joy more than all his brothers. He had a season in his life where he faced the cross for our sins. And in that season, we're talking about a very short span of time, said he was the man of sorrows because he carried our sorrows. He bore our grief. He bore our shame. Even as we talk about these things and you think, oh gosh, he carried that for you. He carried your shame. He carried your sin to the cross so you could experience his grace rather than his wrath. Jesus himself, God the Son, carried the wrath of God on your behalf, on my behalf. This is amazing news. Absolutely amazing news. So for a little bit of time, he was a man of sorrows. But his demeanor was this man who's like saturated in joy. More than all his brothers, more than everybody who hung out with him, more than the disciples who hung out with him. He's a man of joy. So when you read filthiness and foolish talk and crude joking, don't think, oh man, I have to make sure all my jokes have a Bible verse in them. And I got to make sure like, oh yes, brother. Yes. No. Be you. Be who God created you to be. But let's put off these things that are just not like him. Put them off. And rather than these things, let there be thanksgiving. And he says, okay, Paul's talking here and he says, don't become partners with people who engage with these things. Sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness. Don't become partners with people who engage in these things. What does that mean? Does that mean you can't have friends who are not Christians and you can't have friends who are sinners? No. No. Jesus had friends who were sinners. In fact, he was known as a friend of sinners. It was the super religious people who didn't want to hang out with Jesus and pushed him away and actually were the ones who pushed for him to be executed. It was the sinners who gravitated to him. Jesus went to their parties, but he didn't participate in their sin when he hung out with them. Just don't partner with people in their sin. Don't let them suck you into their sin. If you can go to the club, if you can go to a bar or whatever, and you can be an influencer rather than getting sucked into whatever sin is going on. There's nowhere in Scripture do we find thou shalt not go to the club. You're not going to find that kind of teaching in there. But we have this very clear kind of teaching. Don't partner with people in their sin. If you can't go to those places without getting into sin, don't go. We're called to imitate our Father, right? Imitate Him and imitate Christ. Thirdly, so we're called to imitate Him. We're called to recognize things that are not like Him. And there are things in life that, though the media and things will glamorize them and, yeah, this is what you need, but there's not like God, we don't imitate those. But then what we do is we observe and learn what does please our Father. And when I was a little kid, this is not a picture of me, by the way. When I was a little kid, I grew up, so not only did my dad wear cowboy boots and a Stetson cowboy hat, he read Louis L'Amour Western novels. Some of you guys are nodding like, oh yeah, I know Louis L'Amour. He loved Louis L'Amour. And I would always hear the stories of, oh, he's reading this and this guy's out and he's a trapper and he's out in the woods and he's hiking through and he's surviving. And this cowboy is, you know, he's coming to the ranch and he's saving the day and he's driving off the bandits. And I was like, man, I want to read these books. Okay, now I'm like a second grader, third grader. And I got a hold of one of my dad's Louis L'Amour books. And I started to read in third grade. You know what? It was so far over my head and my ability to read, I was bored out of my mind. The story was probably really good, but I had no clue because I couldn't get into the flow of it. But I started because my dad did. And I was imitating my dad. Like, this has got to be good. I came back to it later, like when I'm in junior high, and I started reading Louis L'Amour again. And then I was like, oh, these guys are cool. I had to learn how to enjoy what my dad enjoyed. And I actually had to put some effort into it. The first time I tried, I couldn't do it. I failed. I mean, completely failed. I could not. I tried to imitate him. Couldn't do it. Fell short. But I came back to it. Because I knew there was something good there. Like, I wanted to enjoy this story. I wanted to get into the life of it. And eventually I was able to get into it. Now, because of who Jesus is, because of what has happened through Jesus, Paul says something about us. When you come to Christ, when you come to Him in faith, He says, you are no longer darkness, but light. You were darkness, but you're not darkness anymore. You're now light. Now, when you're darkness, like for me as a little kid, there was something dark, not dark, like scary. I couldn't comprehend what was going on in the Louis L'Amour book. Couldn't do it. As I grew up a little bit, I was able to comprehend, I was able to enjoy. But something happens in you when you come to Christ where the light comes on in you. You were darkness, but now you're light. You can't say to darkness, shine. Hey, darkness, stop being darkness. You can say that all day long. You're too dark. Nobody can see. You can't see. Stop being darkness. Be light. But you can't. You can't do it. But when God intervenes in your life, it's like when he spoke the very beginning of creation. And he says, let there be light. And there was light. And there's a whole lot of things going on scientifically that happened along with that statement. Let there be light. But what wasn't there is now there. When God comes into your life, you who were darkness are now light. And all of a sudden, you can see what you couldn't see before. You can understand what you couldn't understand before. You can comprehend what you couldn't comprehend before. Does it mean you're 100% mature? No. But now you can see. And because we can see, now we can try, as he goes on to say in the next verses there, as God's children, he says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, when you're darkness, you can't do that. Because you can't see. It's dark. But now that you're light, and you can begin to see, now you can try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We don't mindlessly go along with culture just because everybody's doing it. We try to discern, try to figure out what is pleasing by learning what's he like? What does he do? What does he think? What does God think? You ever wonder about that? What does God think about what goes on in the world? And why do we do this? I want to bring this back. Just for one quick second here. Look back at verse 1 for 1 second. Why are we doing all this? We're being imitators of God as beloved children. Why is it that we are trying to discern what it is that God likes? What are these things that are pleasing to God? Things that are not, but how do we live like it? Why are we doing that? Because we are his beloved children. He loves you. He cares for you. He cares about your life. And he's a good God. He's an all-powerful God, all-knowing God. And so, because he loves us, we go, wow, I want to be like that. I want to follow that. I want to imitate this. We're not trying to discern what's pleasing to God, like, okay, we got to get, here's the do list, here's the don't list. What happens if we get something in there on the don't list we weren't supposed to do? And like, oh, I got to make sure God really loves me, so I got to fulfill the list. No, because you're his beloved child, you're his beloved son, his beloved daughter, we go, wow, we want to be like you. If we get this out of order, it's a lifetime of frustration where you're always trying to earn the love of God. I'm trying to be better so that God will like me. I'm trying to be good so he won't kick me out of the house. No, you are his beloved child. And because of that, we respond by trying to discern what pleases him. I want to please my Father because of how he treats me, because he loves me. Don't get those out of order. And if you're feeling like they're out of order, talk to us. Talk to me. Talk to Becca. Talk to Donald. Talk to Jen. Talk to your brothers and sisters and let us help you get the priorities back in order. Not do good so God will like you. No, come to God. Understand he loves you, and because of that, we want to please him. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Now, the last thing we get in this passage is this. We're gonna begin to shine. Because we are now light in him, we're gonna let that light shine. And he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Now, what does this mean? I read this and thinking, don't take part in these unfruitful works, but expose them. Now, I heard, okay, real true story. Don't ever do this. Okay? Don't imitate this. This is a real famous TV evangelist. And he was telling the story of being on an airplane. And a woman approached him. And he was in his business suit. And the dude looks sharp. He's a sharp looking guy. This woman approached him and began to say, hey, you're on a business trip. I'm on a business trip. Let's hook up. And what he did is he stood up in the plane and pointed to her and started calling her whore of Babylon. Don't ever do that. Don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. He says, don't partner in this, but expose it. He's not saying, point at the sinners and say, you're really sinful. Look at how bad you are. You don't have to do that. Expose them to the light. Shine the light of God. You are now light. Shine the light of God onto what is darkness. Expose it. Now, that might come with some corrective words. If you're dealing with your kids and they're in sin, that might come along. Shining some light can come along with some correction. And if you have a friend who's really struggling in something and it's just destroying their life, I'm not saying don't speak to them. But we're not coming at people with fingers pointed and just raw. That's not what this means. We're not brutally exposing people in their sin. We're shining the transforming light of Christ and His Word to them. Let's call sin, sin. Call sin what it is. We don't have to pretend it's not. Call sin, sin. This is what Paul's been doing here in Ephesians 5. He's speaking to really specific things. When he says sexual immorality, ouch. He's calling sin, sin. When he says covetousness, you're longing after these things and, you know, materialism or whatever, he's calling sin, sin. And what's happening? He's pointing it out. He's shining the light of the Word of God right into darkness. And right now, for some of us, maybe we're learning as we go. Oh, this is like God. This is not like God. This is light. This is darkness. Guys, we can use Scripture to expose our own hearts to what is like God and what is not. This is our standard. Not what John says or what whoever says. Our standard is right here. We use the Scripture to instruct and teach and mature our hearts. So here's a really good question for you. Whatever the situation is you find yourself in life, can I represent Jesus well in this? If I continue forward on the path I'm on, am I representing Jesus well? Great question. I would write that one down. Can I represent Jesus well in this? Let's wrap this. Paul ends this particular part of his letter by when I was a little kid, I thought he was, when I would read this, I thought it was an Old Testament quote, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Only I had a problem when I started looking it up. I couldn't find it. He's actually quoting a first century hymn. a worship song of the early church. He's quoting this and he says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Guys, we're called to wake up. Wake up to the things of God. Doesn't matter where you've been, what your life has been like in the past. The call here is to wake up. And then rise up. Rise up from the dead into new life in Christ. If we're living in ways that are death to us, rise up from that. Leave it there. It's like our sins were crucified with Christ. And when he was laid in the tomb and rose from the dead, all of that stuff stayed dead. And we have been called into and raised to new life in Christ. We've been set free from all of that past. We've been set free from all of those sins. So because of that, I can say to you, rise up. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is cool. This is God's plan. Your Father's plan is to illuminate your life with the light of Christ so that you can see, so that you can imitate him, grow up into maturity in him. He's calling you into life. When it says imitate God, he's calling you into life. He's leading you into life. His plan is to expose dark areas in our own lives, show it for what it is, and set us free from it. Wake up from the mind-numbing culture. Wake up, rise up. Christ is going to shine on you. This is good news, guys. Isn't this cool? You're not stuck in these things. We're freed from these things. Now remember, he's writing to a church family. This isn't, you're called to do this, figure it out on your own. No, all of this is together with the family of God, together with others who are being freed, who have been set free from darkness, brought into light. We get to learn and grow together. We even can imitate one another. Paul challenged them, people to do that. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Father, thank you for this call that you have put out to us.